Good morning, and welcome this morning to Myerstown Church of the Brethren and Pastor Dennis. Good to see you this morning. Just a few announcements before we come into worship together. This week we're praying for those on page 38 in the church directory, and we're also praying for the effort of Church of the Brethren, and East Fairview Church of the Brethren is praying for us. And of course, remember the people that are on the prayer list that you'll find in your bulletin. A number of things happening this week. Check the calendar, among them Bible study on Monday at 7, and this Tuesday is commission and board meetings, and Bell Choir is going to start rehearsals on Wednesday evening as well, so if you're involved with that, check that out. A couple birthdays coming up this week. None today, but two tomorrow, I understand. So Lois Sheets turns 90 tomorrow. Happy birthday, Lois. Yes. And Rusal also has a birthday tomorrow. So let's just offer them a happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Lois and Ruth. Happy birthday to you. And if somebody's having a birthday and we missed it, happy birthday to you too. So let's come into this time of worship as our Barb lead us.
Good morning. Please stand for a call to worship. We are called to be God's children. Love has been poured on us through Jesus Christ. Fear and doubt are gone. joy and celebration ring in our hearts. Come, let us raise our voices in song. Let us offer our hearts and souls to God in praise and prayer. Remain standing for our first hymn, Oh, for a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Join me in the unison prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, be with us this day as we again hear the stories of faith and sight. Help us to believe in your abiding presence with us, both in our darkness and in the light which you bring. Give us courage and strength to witness to your resurrection. We pray in your holy name. Amen. Now we'll have you may sit down. We will have a video from the bell choir in the garden. please join me in prayer? He has risen. Lord, these words should lift our heads, our hearts, and our attitudes. Help us to live today as if we really believe this with every part of our lives. Help us to celebrate Jesus daily. Thank you for your protection and the promises we have in your word. Nothing can separate us from your love and the victory achieved by Christ at the cross. Help us to trust you more, obey you more, and resemble you more. May we turn to you first in times of trouble and let your words enter into our hearts and minds so that we may do what you would have us do. Help us proclaim your word to those around us in our communities by reassuring people that you are the light and the hope. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Please stand for the hymn, When We Walk With the Lord.
Invite the children to come up and spend some time with me up front here. So, I like the way you're sitting. This just fits really well into my story this morning. Do any of you like going camping? What are some of the things you do when you go camping? Park. eat s'mores around a campfire. Be campfire right in the middle here, right? Yes. Yeah, got it. Go hiking. Yeah, that's a good one. Anybody else?
Eat hot dogs over the fire.
Eat hot dogs over the fire. The fire that's burning right in the middle there. That's right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I remember when my children were your age and a little bit older that we used to go camping. And we haven't recently, but we used to go camping. And my boys were in Cub Scouts and Boy Scouts. And a number of times I went camping with them, too. And there were a couple things that I remember from those camping trips. One was that sometimes we told stories. And I remember one of the stories they used to tell, and some of the people out there will know this story, was about a group of six guys known as the Blue-Eyed Six. Okay, which is a group of guys that they got in trouble, let's put it that way, okay? But they were interesting because they all had blue eyes, but they also were responsible for some not-so-nice things. One in particular had to do with a man who lived up on the mountain above the scout reservation, up on the mountains north of Lebanon, and it was a story that kind of scary sometimes about this Blue-Eyed Six. And then another thing we did was we sang songs and told ghost stories. And one of the songs I remember especially, I think I got the melody right, but I'll try it and see how it goes. Have you seen the ghost of Tom? Long white bones with the skin all gone. Poor Tom. Wouldn't it be chilly with no skin on? And we sang songs like that. Well, I tell you that story because you heard Mrs. Wagner just read part of the story that I'm going to be talking about this morning. Jesus appeared all of a sudden to these two disciples who were walking along a road to a town called Emmaus. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't know it was Jesus. And they just wondered, why didn't he know about all this stuff that was going on in Jerusalem? And so, and the story stops, I stopped the story where Jesus told them, you know what? This is how the scripture says it's supposed to happen, basically what he said. And then he walked a little further with them, and he had dinner with them. And at dinner, he broke some bread. And when he broke the bread, right away they recognized him as he was Jesus. And they ran back to Jerusalem. They ran back to Jerusalem to tell the disciples who were still back in Jerusalem, we saw the Lord. He is alive. He is alive. And while they were there telling them all this, all of a sudden Jesus appears in the middle of the room. Imagine for a moment if all of a sudden Jesus appeared right there. Would you be a little shocked? A little bit, yeah, a little bit. And the Bible says that they were startled and terrified. They thought they were seeing a ghost. And then Jesus said, look here. Here's my hands. Here's my side. You see the mark in my hands where the nails went through? And then he said, you know, he was trying to tell them that he wasn't a ghost. He was real. And then he said, well, I'm hungry. Do you have anything to eat? So they offered him a piece of fish. And he sat there eating fish. Well, ghosts don't eat food, okay? So Jesus sat there and he showed them that he wasn't a ghost. He was real. He was really alive. And then he told them, well, you have seen all these things about me. Now I want you to go. I want you to go and tell others about me. And that's what Jesus wants us to do today, too, to go and tell others about him. And share the good news of Jesus with others that we know. And that's something that you can do too. Tell other people how much Jesus really loves them. Let's say a prayer. God, we thank you for all the stories that show us that Jesus is alive. And we just thank you for those stories that we can know he's alive. And he sends us too. So as these children go from this place, send them with your words of love, that they might share their story and your story as well. We pray your blessing on them in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up this morning.
Our second scripture for the morning is from Luke 24, verses 36 through 49. Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened, and why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet and see that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy, they were disbelieving and still wondering. He said to them, "Have you anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And see, I am sending upon you what my Father promised. And so stay here in the city until you have been clothed with the power from on high."
Well, as your children grow up, you might look forward to a time when you will be able to get rid of those piles of, well, toys, books, and games, or as they've gotten older and move away, those things that they left in your attic and in your basement that you'd really like to come and have them come and get someday. Well, when grandkids come along, all those toys, books, and games kind of reappear in the house again. When our oldest son, Andy, and his family moved to the Netherlands, we got rid of a lot of those toys, books, and games we'd accumulated because the grandkids were getting older, and what we had was for much younger kids, so we decided it was time to get rid of them. Now, our other son, Peter, and his wife, Katie, are expecting twin girls in July, so we're going to have to restock. Anyhow, before Andy's family moved to the Netherlands, our family room decor included baskets of toys, stuffed animals, collection of storybooks and activity books. And I remember that one of my grandson Will's favorite books was one of those connect the dots kind of books. You know, the kind with the numbered dots, and take your pencil, pen, and you form a picture when you connect them all in the correct order. And it's only when you've connected all the dots in the correct order that the picture is revealed. Sometimes I think life is like one of those connect the dots pictures. Our lives don't make much sense until we've connected all the dots. When our lives feel random and disconnected, when we feel we're without purpose and direction, there's a good chance it's a sign that we haven't taken the time to connect all the dots. We haven't taken the time and done the work of crafting and putting together the picture of our story. And these dots which form our life story include choices and decisions that we have made, our life's experiences, the people who've influenced our lives, values which have influenced our lives, and so on. And if we don't get those dots connected, we find ourselves wandering aimlessly. I think that's where Jesus' disciples were during those days immediately following his resurrection. They were experiencing feelings of disconnection, a time of confusion, a lack of purpose and direction. They were full of questions about the meaning of everything that had happened with Jesus and what it meant for their lives. Maybe they were even doubting the choice they had made to follow Jesus, especially looking at where that choice had gotten them, hiding in a closed room in fear of their lives when they could have been out on the Sea of Galilee fishing. And now these strange occurrences. Jesus showing up just out of nowhere, out of thin air. They were not sure how they should feel, but at the same time, they were filled with joy and with wonder. They needed to get the dots connected if their lives were going to make sense. If they were ever going to understand what those last 3 years meant and what their futures held, they needed to get those dots connected. Jesus does that for them, beginning with those two unnamed followers going to Emmaus and then later to the 11. Actually, he began trying to do that for them even before he was arrested and crucified, but then they didn't understand. But after his resurrection, when Jesus joined those two who were walking to Emmaus, the scripture says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them the things about himself in all the scriptures. And then in the room with the disciples, Jesus again tried to connect the dots. "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you," he said, "that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." And then Luke says he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Back in 2005, Apple co-founder and CEO Steve Jobs gave a commencement speech at Stanford University. And in that speech, he said this: "You can't connect the dots looking forward. You can only connect them looking backwards. So you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. Because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you the confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path. And that will make all the difference." Jesus opened the disciples' minds by first looking backward to the law of Moses, the writings of the prophets, and the Psalms, showing them how the messianic Hebrew scriptures, every story, every promise, every prophecy about the Messiah points in one direction. And when the dots are connected, there is Jesus. All that remained for them was to receive the power that would enable them to fully understand all this and then go boldly to proclaim the truth of Jesus to the world. And that power, of course, would become real on the day of Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit descended on the 11 as a mighty wind and as flames of fire. Well, as Jesus connected the dots for them, they began to understand, and some of their why questions, some of their fears and doubts, their feelings of disconnectedness and lack of purpose, it all began to come into focus. The meaning of the past 3 years of ministry with Jesus, their hopes for the present and for the future, all began to take shape. The picture became more clear. And what Jesus showed them is that the scriptures are understood when seen through the light of Jesus and his resurrection. What they discovered when Jesus opened their minds to understand the scriptures was that the scriptures are filled with stories of resurrection, with stories of death giving way to life, all the way from creation to that day the resurrected Jesus was standing there with them. The story of Noah and the flood is a death to life story. It's a resurrection story. Abraham and Sarah were advanced in age, but from them came life and a whole nation. Their story is a resurrection story. The suffering and death of the Israelite slavery in Egypt, followed by the story of their freedom and new life, it's a resurrection story. In Acts 3 is the account of Peter and John going into the temple to pray, probably several months after Jesus' resurrection. And there was a man there who'd been lame from birth, who'd been brought to the temple gate to beg. And seeing Peter and John, he asked for some money. But Peter said to him, "I have no silver or gold, but what I have I give to you. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, stand up and walk." And the man not only got up and walked, he was jumping and leaping and praising God, Scripture says. And seeing the people's reaction to what had happened, Peter asked them why they were staring in amazement. Then he told them about Jesus' resurrection, and that through him they could also experience times of refreshment in their own lives. A resurrection story, resurrection power at work. And for us who believe, who have decided to follow Jesus, every single day we are being resurrected. In a very real way, we die in our sins. However, in the continued act of forgiveness granted to us through God's grace, we are reborn new and forgiven. We're resurrected humans. This is an actual resurrection. Our sins kill us, but God's forgiveness makes us alive again. We are a resurrection story. You know, 2 weeks ago, we celebrated Jesus' resurrection, and maybe some of you are wondering why I'm still talking about the resurrection. I mean, after all, that was 2 weeks ago. It's true. Life has gone on since then. Lots of things have happened in the last 2 weeks. Pandemic's still in the news. Somewhere in this world, there have been weddings and funerals and hospitalizations and surgeries and wars and natural disasters. For some, the promise of the resurrection has given way to the harsh realities of life in this world. Here at the church, there have been Bible studies and meetings. Out in the world, retailers have moved on to the next holiday. Life has gone on. How often outside of that Sunday 2 weeks ago, do you think about resurrection? Do you ever think of resurrection as a present and an ongoing reality? You know, most often I think we tend to think of it as a past event, as in Jesus' resurrection, or we think of it as a future promise, as in the resurrection of the dead on the last day. We're willing to accept resurrection as an event from the past or a promise of the future. We miss out on the power and the presence of resurrection for our lives and for the world today. Yes, the Easter flowers have drooped and faded. Those palms from Palm Sunday have dried out. The great singing and spirit of our worship on Easter Sunday is something of the past. 2 weeks after our celebration of Jesus' resurrection, it's easy to go on as if nothing has really changed. We need reminders of resurrection today. Because of what happened when Jesus was raised from the dead, one would think that we should be experiencing a whole new world, a world where we see life bursting out all over. But why, when we live on this side of Jesus' resurrection, why is resurrection life sometimes so difficult to see? And I suspect there are a number of reasons, but probably the main one is this: that we live in a culture and a world that is preoccupied with death. We see all too many reminders of death and so few of life. The presence and reality of death surrounds us all the time, and it's more easily perceived than the reality of life. The headlines are all about wars, murders, more mass shootings, and accidents. It's all about people dying. It's difficult to find TV shows these days that are not shows about crime or some kind of forensics-themed show or shows about wars, all focused around death. In our lives, we're confronted with death almost daily. Maybe faced with a close friend or a family member who's struggling with cancer, aging parents, children who are experiencing too much pain too soon in their lives, stories of broken relationships and broken lives. It's easy for us to get focused on death and fail to see the signs of resurrection life around us. But as Christians, we are resurrection people. We are people who have been born anew, people who supposedly have experienced this resurrection life. People who are called to bring life and light and love into the world. While Jesus helped his disciples to connect the dots by looking back into the scriptures, he also helped them by looking forward into the future. Remember what Steve Jobs said, you have to trust that the dots will somehow connect in your future. Because believing that the dots will connect down the road will give you confidence to follow your heart, even when it leads you off the well-worn path. Yes, Jesus told his disciples, it was written long ago that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead on the third day. And it was also written that this message would be proclaimed in the authority of his name to all the nations, beginning in Jerusalem. There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. You are witnesses to these things. Like the disciples, we need to believe that the dots will connect down the road. By faith in Jesus, we will find the confidence to follow our hearts, even when following him leads us off the well-worn path. There is a message that needs to be proclaimed, and today we are the ones called to proclaim it. Like the disciples and those first century believers, we are the people of the resurrection called to bring life into a world focused on death. You are witnesses, Jesus said. You and I are witnesses to the power of resurrection and to the possibilities of life. We are witnesses here and now in this moment, in this life, in our daily lives, and for the sake of life. Jesus reminds us who we really are. Resurrection people. Resurrection witnesses. And he says we can be those who proclaim life to a world preoccupied with death because God has provided us with the power to do it. Holy Spirit. Power. And we have this community of fellow believers to help and encourage us. There's power in numbers. We don't face this world of darkness and death alone. We don't witness to new life alone. We've been given a message to proclaim to a world that needs to hear about life, real life, resurrection life. And what did Jesus say? Is that life-giving message resurrection people have been given to proclaim? There is forgiveness of sins for all who repent. I've said this before, and I'll say it again today, and I'll probably say it again another Sunday, but too often we have reduced the resurrection message down to being saved from our sins so we can go to heaven. But that understanding of resurrection only addresses the power of life over death for the next life. It doesn't address the culture of death in this life. Part of the good news, yes, is eternal life in Jesus, but it's so much more. Eternal life, real life, starts the moment you say yes to Jesus. The simple message we've been given to proclaim is the way to life today. And the power in this message Jesus gave us for today begins with understanding, I think, what the word repent means. It's so much more than just saying you're sorry for doing something wrong. That is confession, not repentance. Repentance is about transformation, about a total reorientation of our lives around the message and the mission of Jesus. It's going all in for the reign of God in our lives and in the world. Repentance is about life in the here and now. Mark 1:15, Jesus says, "The time promised by God has come at last. The kingdom of God is near. Repent of your sins and believe the good news." And what is this good news? Well, first of all, the good news is the person, Jesus. But Jesus revealed that good news also in Luke 4 when he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. The good news is all about resurrections, about new life, new possibilities, freedom, understanding, and blessing from God for this life and for the life to come. And we need, when we experience this kind of new life, these new possibilities, this freedom, this new understanding, when we experience release, when we're set free, when the dots get connected, then we experience that life and resurrection, and we're called to be witnesses to what we have personally experienced. The disciples were witnesses to what they experienced. They preached the message of repentance and forgiveness, the message of new life and freedom. They preached it in words and they preached it in actions as they built a new community that sought to live the good news they received from Jesus. They were able to endure persecution and stand up to the power of empire because of their understanding of resurrection life was that it wasn't just a hope for life after death. It was very real, transforming hope for this world as well. So they took Jesus' teachings seriously. They believed he meant what he said. They believed that his words and his teaching were not just a way to heaven, but also a way for humanity to live and experience real God-ordained life in the here and now. Resurrection life is a way of life. And this resurrection life they found in Jesus gave them the hope and the courage to be his witnesses. This resurrection life encouraged them to continue striving to live the kind of life Jesus had shown them, a peaceful, just, generous, loving, forgiving, reconciling, and compassionate life they lived even in the face of martyrdom. Because of resurrection power, they had no fear of what the world could do to them. In their martyrdom, they still proclaimed Christ's message of repentance and forgiveness. And through the centuries, this message of repentance, forgiveness, resurrection, and life has continued to be proclaimed. And now it's our turn. It's our responsibility. We are the ones given this message today. We are resurrection people and called to bring the good news of life and hope into a world that is focused on death and the things that bring death. We are Jesus' witnesses today. And I know that word witness scares a lot of people. We think we don't know enough, or we think we don't have the ability, and maybe we've had a bad experience being on the receiving end of someone else's witness, and we don't want to be like that person. But the fact is, we bear witness to things that are important to us all the time. You bear witness to a great TV show or movie you've seen, or a good book you've read, and think that, well, maybe somebody else might enjoy this too, so you tell them all about it. We bear witness to the accomplishments of our favorite sports teams. We bear witness to the important events in our family, school, or work lives. And we grandparents bear witness to the accomplishments of our grandchildren all the time. We bear witness. That is, we tell other people about the things that matter to us all the time. And if you can tell someone about a book, a movie, your family, your children, or your grandchildren, don't you think you could tell someone about the way you've experienced life in Jesus? And isn't that just as important? We all have a resurrection story. And if you've been born anew in Christ, you have a resurrection story. We bear witness all the time. We're just sometimes hesitant about it when it comes to matters of faith. But you can do it. You've got what it takes to be a witness for Jesus and to bring love and light and life to your little corner of this world. Jesus is in you and empowering you to be his witness. You can be a resurrection witness. It doesn't have to be perfect. What it does have to be is you, authentic and from the heart. We are resurrection people with a story to tell. We have a life-giving message given to us by the one who is life himself, Jesus Christ. He's with us. He's leading us. And in a world that is desperately looking for life, the question is, will we be his witnesses? Will you tell your resurrection story? We do have a story to tell to the nations. Let us stand and sing together. You are resurrection people. You have a resurrection story to tell. You can bring life and light and love to your corner of this world. Go now and share the story in Jesus' name. Amen.